Listen now for the founder of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Today's message was selected from among the earliest recordings preserved from his lifetime and ministry.
My friends, I wish to talk to you on the subject, what is a Christian? As I go up and down the country, I meet so many people that don't seem to understand what it means to be a Christian. And I'd like to tell you today. And if I took a text for this subject, I would talk to you from a little expression in the 26th verse of the 11th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, I wouldn't talk to you about why they were called Christians. They were probably called Christians in derision. I wouldn't discuss that with you. That's not the purpose of this message. But I do want to talk to you on the subject, what is a Christian? Then in a later message, which I'll bring you sometime before long, I'd like to give you a few little simple reasons why everybody ought to be a Christian. Now, what is a Christian? A Christian is not a person who lives in what we call a Christian country. Now, as a matter of fact, there is not a Christian country in all the world. There is no such thing as a Christian nation. Now, America is not a Christian country. Do not misunderstand me. Everything we have in this country is worthwhile, comes to us from the Bible, from the gospel, and from Christianity. Our forefathers that came here were not all Christians. And yet the Christian philosophy of life dominated this nation from the very day our forefathers came here. And there is still a tremendous Christian influence at work in our land. But you haven't a Christian country. A man who goes up and down America and studies conditions, as some of us have done, he's bound to know that this is really not a Christian nation. Now, Great Britain, officially, governmentally, is a Christian nation. But, of course, England is not Christian any more than we're Christian. England officially is Christian. They magnify the Bible. They've written the Word of God on nearly everything. And they, as a government, magnify the ritualistic things of Christianity, such as the sacraments and all that. But actually speaking, when you think of the way people live in England, they're not really Christians. Now, there are a great many Christians in the British Empire. There are Christians in other countries. And these Christians are scattered around the world, and they are the hope of the world. They are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. You cannot imagine what would happen in this country today if every Christian was taken out. If every Christian this day should be suddenly taken out of this world, pandemonium would sweep it. Cataclysmic curses and judgments would come to us. Christianity has a restraining influence in the world. But this country is not a Christian country. Let's not fool ourselves. Now, a Christian is not a person who simply joins a church. If all the church members were in this country were Christians, well, it'd make all the difference in the world. But you can join a church and not be a Christian. You can be baptized. You can take communion. You can actually be an official church member. You can teach a Sunday school class and not be a Christian. It is possible to stand in the pulpit and preach and not be a Christian. I remember years ago I was in a campaign in a certain Midwestern city, and one of the most prominent preachers in town told me he'd been converted during that meeting. Said I never was converted before. I saw him years later, and he told me that ever since that campaign, he'd been leading people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can actually go through a seminary and go through and study and take the pulpit and preach and not be a Christian. I read in my Bible where Jesus said that people coming to him someday and saying to him, "Don't you know me? I cast out devils in your name. In your name did many wonderful works." And Jesus say, I never knew you. I never knew you. You're going to be fooled someday. Some people you thought were Christians in this world, you're going to find out were not Christians. Now, get it clear. You better play this thing safe. You better not take any chances. You don't have to take any. And don't take any. You know, I don't want to take any with my soul. I want to play it safe. Years ago, there's a train pulling up through the snows of the Northwest. There was a certain flag station where they'd stop to let off passengers and these. And there's a lady who wanted to get off of that station. So she sat there in the car with a baby in her arms and a baggage piled up around her. And every time the flagman would come through, she'd say, "Flagman, don't forget my station. Don't forget my station." Oh, he said, "Lady, don't worry. I'll see you get off there." Next time he came through, she said, "Flagman," he said, "Lady, for heaven's sake, don't worry. I promise you." And after a while, a man across the aisle said, "Lady, don't worry. I'll tell you when to get off." After a while, the train stopped, and the man across the aisle said, "You get off here." So she gathered up a baby in her baggage and went on all fussing at the flagman for not telling her. The train stopped for a minute and then went on. After a while it stopped again, and the flagman came back and said, "Where's the lady that wanted to get off?" Why, the man across the aisle said she got off back at that station. He said, "Did you tell her to get off there?" He said, "Yes, I told her." "Wasn't that the place?" Said, "No. No, we had a little engine trouble. And if you put that woman off there, she's frozen to death now in this blizzard." Why, the man said, "I was honest about it. I thought that was the right place." He said, "Maybe you were, but you put her off at the wrong place." So they sent a searching party back and found her frozen in a bank of snow, hugging her dead baby to her bosom. The man was honest across the aisle, but he made a mistake. You can't afford to make any mistake about this business. You better play this thing safe. Now, let me ask you something. You ought to be a Christian. You ought to be a Christian. You never heard anybody in your life, in his dying hour, say, "I'm sorry I'm a Christian." You've heard him say, "I'm sorry for the wasted years. I'm sorry for my influence hasn't been right. I'm sorry for all the sins I've committed." But never have you heard anybody say, "I'm sorry I'm a Christian." Now, what is a Christian? I'm going to be just as practical as I know how. I want to help you. I'm dealing with destinies. I wouldn't dare tell you the wrong thing. What I'm telling you is safe. I know it's safe. I know it'll work. What is a Christian? A Christian is a person whose life, four definite things have taken place. A Christian has been convicted. He's repented. He's converted. He's born again. You have first be convicted, then repent, then be converted, and then be born again. Now, what is conviction? I'll talk to you practically. You don't have to be a theologian. I'm walking down the road and I stop. That's conviction. Conviction is simply stopping and saying, "I'm going the wrong way." Now, that's conviction. I say to myself, "I'm not right with God. I'm a sinner. I've sinned against God. I'm going away from God. I'm wrong." Now, that's conviction. Now, what's repentance? Repentance is making up your mind to turn around. It's not turning around. It's making up your mind to turn around. It's a resolution to turn. That's repentance. I turn around. That's conversion. I trust Jesus Christ, and I'm born again. Now, you can stop without turning around, but you cannot turn around without stopping. You have to stop to turn. But some of you have stopped that didn't turn. You said it many a time, "I'm not right. I'm a sinner. I ought to be a Christian. My mother was a Christian. My father was a Christian." Some of you men, listen to me, you have a Christian wife. She's prayed for you. Your mother prayed for you before you were born. She prayed for you before she died. Your mother's in heaven. Maybe your mother's still living. You had friends that prayed for you. Loved ones that prayed for you. You know what you ought to do. Now, that's a good thing to stop and know what you ought to do. But he that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's not enough to stop. You've got to turn around. You've got to turn around. You've got to turn your face to Jesus Christ. Now you're sorry for your sin, make up your mind to turn around. Now you turn around, you face about, you turn your back on sin and you face to Christ. Now what happens? You trust Christ and you are born again. Now notice this. Nicodemus was not a drunkard. Nicodemus was not a libertine. If Nicodemus had lived in your community, he'd have been the chairman of the official board of the church. He'd have been a delegate to your conference, or your convention, or your assembly. If he lived in your community, you'd have probably held him up as a model for your own child. But one night he went to see Jesus, and the holy eyes of Jesus searched his soul of Nicodemus, and he said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." Now, if you haven't been born again, you are not a Christian. It takes a new birth to make you a Christian. I asked a great preacher one time, I said, "Where were you born?" He said, "Which time?" I said, "The first time." He said, "The first time in Scotland, the second time in the United States." You can be born a second time. It's a new birth. It's a new birth. And you get it by having simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in the Bible, "As many as received him, to them gave he the power or the authority or the right to become children of God." As many as received him. To them that believe on his name. Believing on his name is receiving him. Receiving is believing on his name. Now you cannot save yourself. You cannot earn salvation. You cannot pay for it after you get it. The gift of God is eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. Now all you need is Christ. That's all you need. Well, you say, what about my past sins? He'll forgive them. You say, well, what about my temptations? He'll be with you to strengthen you so you do not have to yield. He'll be with you. He'll take care of the past. He'll be with you in the future. What you need is Jesus. Christianity is Christ, and Christ is Christianity. He that hath the Son, the Bible says, has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. If you have Christ, you have life. If you haven't Christ, you haven't life. You say to me, Bob Jones, you know you're a Christian? Yes. How do you know it? Do you feel it? No. I feel happy because I know it. My Bible tells me if I have Christ, I have life. I call God to witness the best I know how. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. My righteousness is as filthy rags. I am not so good, but have a good Savior. It's not my goodness, it's His saving power. It's His goodness. It's not my righteousness, it is His righteousness. If I accept Him, I have Him. If I have Him, I have life. That's the Word of God. That's the assurance. That's the privilege. Now you say, can a man know he's saved? Yes. How can you know it? By feeling it? No, I wouldn't say that. Feeling is not mentioned in the Bible, but about twice. And I don't think it's mentioned in connection with salvation. Feeling is a fruit on the tree of faith. Feeling is a fruit on the tree, I'll put it this way, of Christian experience. Faith is a root. Feeling is a fruit. The Apostle Paul says, in whom believing, I rejoice. Paul didn't believe because he rejoiced. He rejoiced because he believed. Faith is a medicine. Feeling is a health that you get for taking the medicine. Now, you'll feel all right if you'll trust Christ. But you might feel all right and be mistaken. So grace, by grace you're saved. Trust Him. Now religion is reliance. The thing on which you rely for your salvation, that is your religion. Your religion is no stronger than your reliance. A Christian is a person who, knowing that he cannot save himself, relies upon Jesus Christ and His atoning blood for salvation. If you do that, you are saved. May God help you to do it. And may God help every one of you, sitting by your radio now, to trust Jesus Christ, and from this day on, live a Christian life. Our Father, hear us as we pray that they may do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Goodbye, and God bless you.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.